All week long, I've been asking myself this question: who is Lazarus in my life? We all have a Lazarus waiting by the door, and it's a different person, you know, each time we go by sometimes. But what Lazaruses did God put in our path this week, and how many did we miss? There's a lot in the priest, obviously, but we all have them. And it's a very interesting week I had, and I invite you to think about that this week. It might be a little troubling. I like to think of this gospel. We have a poor man who went to heaven and a rich man that went to hell. And it's a very difficult gospel. But the poor man did not go to heaven just because he was poor, nor the rich man the other place because he was rich. There were other things at work. One man was empty, and God was able to fill him. Another man was so full, there was no room for anyone but himself. Not God, not his neighbor, just him. And that's the key to understanding this. When I was in my second year at the seminaries, this was quite a long time ago already, each year we had something called field education, and we'd pick out something we were helped to pick out something that would kind of complement our lack of skills. And one of the thing I signed up for, which was rather difficult, was called Witness on Burnside. And we would put on our Roman collar, which in those days, I was very self-conscious with this because I wasn't a priest yet. And we would go and just walk around north of Burnside in that area that people normally didn't go unless they were going to the train station, you know, that area. And 15 years ago, that was a pretty tough area. The Pearl District wasn't upscale yet. And so, mixing with people that normally were not part of my experience. And one of the things that we did was we went to a mentally ill home with schizophrenics and got a chance to talk with them, and that was very interesting. And I would, we'd go and serve food at Sisters of the Road Cafe. Is anybody here familiar with that place? It's really a great establishment. They give the poor a meal ticket, and they're served restaurant style, so it gives them a chance to have dignity when they eat, and it's really quite nice. It's a great cause to support. The ladies that run that do a great job, and so we would be waiters, you know, for this. And what I found was, at first, it was really difficult to start a conversation. I think I'd had a flat tire that week. The people I was talking to didn't have a car. You know, they didn't have a bed. It makes you stop because it was hard to find something to start the conversation with. So what I found was that all of us seminarians would get together and watch, this is going to date me, but Star Trek The Next Generation, which was new then. And I'm kind of a Trekkie. Some of you know that if you've been in my office. And I got a picture next to Mr. Spock on my desk. Anyway, but it turned out that all of these people had all seen Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't know how they did it, but they don't have a TV, but they'd all seen these episodes. So I'd always start with that, and we'd talk about that. And it's interesting because they were real interested in the future, you know. They didn't have a present that was very good. But very quickly, in many cases, you'd be conversing with them, and because we were perceived as clergy, we got into brass tacks real quick. They started talking about life and death. You would not get this south of Burnside, where all the businesses are, you know. But north of Burnside, they're close to death. They'd say, "Does God love me? Why do I seem to be living close to hell? Is there a heaven? How do I get there? Am I doing something wrong?" You know, real tough questions. Things that you ask when you're really suffering and struggling, as many here have at other times of their lives. And I've always been struck by the fact that in their poverty, they were awfully close to God, that God loves those questions. They're striving without even knowing it, that the hunger within them is a hunger for God in many cases, without knowing it. Like Lazarus, you see. We're not told that Lazarus was religious, but obviously he asked questions, didn't he? At the time of Christ, if you were to see the rich man, who's often called Dives, I have no idea why, maybe because he took a dive after he died. I don't know. But dives, they'd look at him and they'd say, boy, you are really close to God. Look at all these blessings God's given you, all these gifts. You or your parents, somebody's really pleasing to God. You know, we tend to think that way ourselves. You know, then they'd look at Lazarus and they'd say, whoa, Lazarus, who sinned in your family? You must be a very big sinner. Look at all the suffering you're going through. Or your parents sinned, or your wife sinned, or your grandparents sinned. Somebody sinned very badly. You are not favored by God. And Lazarus would have felt that way himself. And so he's telling the Pharisees, who of course have it all, and they think they're close to God because they have all this stuff. He says, you've got it all wrong. Lazarus is the blessed one. Well, you'd never know it. And it's true for us too. When you feel deprived, the last thing we think is that we're being blessed. But the reality is, we are. Because I think in a lot of cases, when we're suffering very badly, it creates a cavity that God fills. Sometimes here and sometimes in the next world. But to be opened to God, to have space for him. The rich man was really the full man. He had a full calendar. He had a full stomach. He had a full house. He had a full wardrobe. He had a full life, probably worked on his investments and whatever the heck he was doing. And the key is, he was so full, he had no room for God, and certainly no room for Lazarus. He didn't look at anybody, not just that Lazarus, but all the other Lazaruses. All he was thinking about was himself. And that's what God was condemning. Don't have such a full life that there's no room for God. I'm preaching to the wrong crowd, but you know, I read this week that the reason some people stay home from church is because they want to have waffles and walk around in their bathrobe, because they're working so hard, aren't they? We're working longer hours than we used to, than our parents did. More people working in the house. No time for God. I've got to pay for my plasma television. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of thing, if I don't have time to pray, I'm too busy. We have to find some place for God in our lives. Am I too full that I can't tithe something? God has to have a place in my life, or I'm extremely poor and I don't know it. How poor that other man was. He had no friends. Remember what he said last week? Make friends for yourselves in the next world with your wealth, what we have. It's very interesting to look at this. We ask ourselves, am I full for God? How often we don't appreciate the things that make us realize that we are in need. To be in need is to be close to God, because when you look at Christ in his life on the cross, here was somebody who emptied himself for us. He became emptied so that we could be filled. And so when he sees us with our small lives, who have virtually nothing compared to him, of course, he wants to see if we can let go a little bit and let him fill us. I had a funeral yesterday, and we had some people here last night that had just had a death. There, I know a lot of us have had this experience. And one often wonders what, and I've said this before, how often I wish that the deceased would get up and preach instead of me at the funeral. Of course, if they ever did, you'd have to bury me at the end of the week, you know. But I really do, because I think as soon as they pass through the veil, boy, would they like to warn their relatives, wouldn't they? You know? Don't be as self-centered as I was. Sometimes people are inheriting a lot of loot, and it's not good for them. You know what I mean? It's like this guy. He says, I've got five brothers, and they're just like me. Here we have a gospel where this man actually, we're getting a vision of the future, and the Lord parts the veil, and here's these two people. They went to very different places. Little did they know they were making eternal choices on earth. He warned us. We all know it in our hearts. There's something coming, you know? And this man wants to warn his relatives. Isn't that great? It's probably the first time he thought about somebody else in a long time in his life. Too late. He says, I've got five brothers. Lord, it was a very unselfish thing to think. Don't let them come here. Isn't that great? And so Abraham says, I'm not going to come back from the dead and talk to them. That's not in the rules of the game. They have Moses. They have the Bible. They have the church. And the man says, oh no, Father Abraham, that old Bible's been sitting on the coffee table for 20 years. They're not going to open that. I got one in the mail this week from a publisher. It came with a display stand and everything. It said, sell these to your parish. Remember we had those Catholic Answer Bibles last year? We sold those to the parish. This was one of those beautiful inlaid things with pictures and in a cellophane wrapper. I said, I'm not selling that to my parish. That's the kind that we never opened at home. You know, I don't want one that's going to look pretty. I want one that's going to get dog-eared, you know. And you know, our Lord has given us all the answers here. They're not always easy to hear, but they're very freeing, really. There's nothing more wonderful than giving yourself away. There's nothing worse than keeping it all for yourself. And the message is really a very simple one. It must have shocked the hearers that first heard it. Let's ask our Lord that we might not be afraid when the emptying comes in our lives that is so hard for us. But let us trust in God to fill us with Himself. And we need only fear if we are too full.